Find your Bibles and turn to the book of John. Let's look at John chapter 10. We're going to read the first 11 verses. You look on as I read John chapter 10, verses 1 through 11. John chapter 10, 1 through 11. In John chapter 10, verse 1, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." Now this parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." Just simply meaning, he's going to meet your needs, whatever they might be. Verse 10, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we thank you for your word today. We ask, Lord, now that you would open our minds. We get our minds off of all other things. Just, Lord, let our minds for the next 20 minutes or so just be on what, Lord, you have for us. May our hearts be in tune with you. And Father God, may you teach us the precious things that you have for us today. Whatever the need is in the life of your people, Lord, may you meet them according to your will. Pray, Lord, if there's anybody here today that does not know for sure of their salvation, then today would be that day to know Christ as their Savior. Lord, have your will in your way, and we'll thank you for it, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Probably one of the most famous verses that we have that many people think of when they think of John chapter 10 is verse 10. The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, to destroy. And then he says, "I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly." I want to speak to you today on the abundant life. In verse 10 there, we have actually a contrast. A lot of times we miss contrasts that God gives us, but this is definitely one. It's a contrast between these two shepherds. It's the evil shepherd versus the good shepherd. The evil shepherd has come to do three things, and he names what those three things are. And by the way, and I'm going to name them for you, but by the way, if you follow this evil shepherd, you follow this the wrong shepherd, then it's going to affect your life. It's going to mire those things that you do. Notice the three things it says about this evil shepherd. It says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal," number one, "to kill," number two, "and to destroy." Those are three things this evil shepherd does. First of all, he wants to steal. What do you mean he wants to steal? Well, in the context area, it would be to steal the sheep, obviously, because they're not his sheep, but to steal. But spiritually speaking, that's exactly what the devil does. He's there to deceive, discourage, and to destroy. He is a killer. He is a destroyer. These three things are given to us here. To steal here, for us as Christians, is to steal our effectiveness. To steal our life of significance. I always enjoy, maybe I shouldn't say it that way, I don't mind at all, let's put it that way, preaching the funeral of a Christian. That don't sound good. I enjoy preaching the funeral of a Christian. But I like to do that in the sense that they're going to heaven. They are in heaven. I can share with people how they got to heaven. You can get there as well, and so forth. So in that sense, I enjoy preaching the message of a Christian who's going on to be with the Lord. But one of the things that all of us would want at our funeral is to know that we had a life of significance. Something came of it. Maybe somebody got saved, or Christian was strengthened, and so forth. You have a lot of times in funerals today, people will get up and say what that person meant in their life. We want to have a life of significance. We want to have a life that is effective. And the devil wants to take that. He wants to steal that from you. So he likes to steal. He likes to kill. What does he like to kill? Well, I think there's a lot of things we can say, but he wants to steal your hope. He wants to make your life a life of hopelessness. You know, today they tell us that teen suicide is high today. Why? Because they don't have hope. We're not teaching that hope of knowing God. We're telling them there's no heaven to gain. And so the life you live right now, that's all you have, you know, and so forth. There's that lack of hopelessness. So there's to steal and to kill and then to destroy. Well, obviously the devil is a destroyer, and that's that evil shepherd is the devil. He wants you to follow the ways of the world. When I say that, what I mean is that there's a philosophy to live by, and that's the worldly philosophy, and the Bible says that he's the prince and the power of the air, the devil is, and so we'll either live by the principles and precepts of the devil, the world's philosophy, or we'll live by the Word of God, by God's philosophy, by God's Word. So there's that evil shepherd. Then there's the good shepherd. Notice three things about him. It says the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. But then Jesus said, I am come. Number one, he says, he comes. The coming of the good shepherd. Some of you are animal lovers, maybe you have a dog and you walk through the door and the dog greets you and jumps up on you and that tails a wagon a mile a minute, as they say, and they're just happy to see you. Well, the Lord has come. He come and died on the cross, and he paid the price for our sins on that cross. He did what needed to be done so we can go to heaven. The Lord came. And by the way, he's coming again. In our song that was sung today, he said, I don't know whether, I'm going to walk through that veil, Psalm 23, or if he's going to take me up with him in the air, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. He said, he's coming, the coming of the good shepherd to lead his sheep. And then it says also there in verse 10, I am come that they might have life. He gave his life that you and I can have life, that we might have freedom from the evil shepherd. Look at verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Look at verse 15. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. Notice verse 17. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it up again. He came. He gave his life And then he goes on to say in verse 10, and that they might have it more abundantly. He gives us not only life eternal, but he gives us life here more abundantly. Or in other words, the full life. The evil shepherd versus the good shepherd. Now, my outline today is simply this. I want to give you three things that we might have the full or that abundant life. In other words, the principles for abundant living. First of all, we need to realize that we are pilgrims. That we are pilgrims. What is a pilgrim? Well, you might think of pilgrims, you think of Thanksgiving. And they did. They made a pilgrimage from England to America. And so we call them pilgrims. Some of you, if you're my age, might think of a pilgrim as somebody that John Wayne talked about. A pilgrim, you know. But when we talk about pilgrims here, we're talking about one who is only a temporary resident. We have a song that we sing. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Up there, the blue, beyond the skies. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. I can't feel at home in this world anymore. In other words, when you get saved, God has a new home for you. Now you're left down here. He's got a reason, got a purpose for us to be down here. But this is not where we live anymore. The abundant life or the full life is not one without its ups and downs, because we're still down here in this old world. There are sunshiny days and straight roads to travel, and there's days when all goes well. But there's also those cloudy days, those gray days, those foggy days, those days when there's a sudden bend in the road and it takes us off in another direction. And we can't see, and we feel a little confused because of that, a little discouraged. Jesus gave us a parable in Matthew chapter 7. He said, two men went out and they built their house. One built it upon the rock and one built it upon the sand. Remember that story? But there's an important thing that we need to remember about that. The Bible says in both cases, the house on the rock and the house on the sand, in both cases, the storms came and beat against the house. That means the one that's built upon the rock, and of course, if you go and study that illustration out, he's talking about build your house or your life upon the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. Build it upon the Lord. Build it upon the Word of God, the principles and precepts of it. That's the rock. That's the solid foundation. My grandson that lives in Florida, just a little south of Jacksonville, but they live in a trailer. And he's talked to his mom, my daughter, and he said, we're moving out of the trailer to an uncle's house because it has a foundation. Yeah, that'd be a good idea. Amen. Get on something that's got a foundation. What are you building your life upon? The Lord says, build your life upon the rock. And the Bible makes it very clear that Jesus Christ is that rock. And that's what we want to build upon. You see, the evil shepherd, the evil one who wants to lead you, what do shepherds do? They lead you. He'll lead you astray. He'll send you in the wrong direction, doing the wrong things, things that will mar your life and destroy your life down here, make it of none effect, of no consequence. And so don't be that one that builds upon the sand. What's the problem with sand? Well, it moves, doesn't it? It moves, it sinks. it goes in many different directions. And so we want to be careful. When the storms come, what happened? The sand. You can walk out today in the Bahamas out where the ocean used to be. Did you know that? What happened to the ocean? The winds came and blew the water away. I think I heard that story somewhere. Well, that's right, the Red Sea. Of course, we know, because all the great theologians tell us, that actually they just found a piece of ground that they could walk around, maybe up around the isthmus there. No, God said, get out of the way. All right, folks, go on. Isn't it amazing that scientists says it's impossible that the Red Sea parted, but we can walk out now where the ocean used to be? Why? Because the winds came and blew it up out of the way. I tell you what I want to do. I want to believe what God has to say. I want to believe the Lord. I don't always understand it. How can that happen? It doesn't matter. The only way I know it happens is God. Just God. That answers a lot of things right there. Put your faith in the Lord. And so, I'm talking about being a pilgrim. You know, in 1967, I landed in Saigon, and for the next 12 months, sometimes there was sunshiny days, about 99%, all right? Hot, sunny days. But some days there were cloudy, rainy days for like 2 months. You got up, it was raining. You went to bed, it was raining. You still had to go do what you had to do. You came in, you took your socks off and wrung them out, hung them up somewhere, hoping that they'd dry out a little bit. Not that I had just one pair of socks. I'm just saying, you know, you had to put them out there. Take your clothes off and wring them out and hang them up somewhere. Take your boots off, set them aside, open them up so they dry out, get another pair of boots, get another pair of clean socks and stuff in there and all that. You say, well, you do that because you got to be ready to go. And so you had to have everything ready. You had to know where everything's at, because when the lights are out and the incoming, the stuff's happening, you better know where your pants are at. Amen? Better know where your shirt's at. Better know where your socks and your boots are at. Better know where your equipment's at. And so until you come in and you take all this wet, terrible stuff off, guess what? The next morning you get up, guess what you do? You put all that clean stuff on, put your rain gear on, and go out there. It's still raining. Rain, rain, rain. Day and night, it was raining. So there was rainy days. There was sunny days. There was days, there was nights that I slept in a bunk. There was nights that I slept on the ground. There was nights that I was up in a tower. There was nights that I was in a bunker that would maybe be about that high, maybe 3-4 feet high. Crawl in there and do that. I slept in the dirt. I'm talking about six inches of dust that they slept in dirt, roll around in that stuff. All those things. But you know one thing? I was just a passing through. I wasn't a Vietnamese. I was an American. And the day came and they dropped the gate on the back gate of a C-130, and I walked up there and sat down on that jump seat. They took off and played coup Vietnam and flew to Saigon and landed. I got off, done some things, got on a what they call a Freedom Flight, jet plane, and lifted up and landed in Seattle, Washington. I was just a passing through. As a Christian today, guess what? I'm just a passing through. There are stormy days, there are sunshiny days, there's good days, there's bad days. Sometimes things don't work out like I want them to do, but I want to tell you something. I have a good shepherd. This is not my home. I'm just a passing through. You say, well, what are we talking about here, preacher? I'm talking about the abundant Christian life. When I know that, you know, one of the greatest things being away from home, many of you may have been, When I was away from home for that 12 months, you know what I was doing? There's a counter hanging up. Open up that little metal locker. Open that locker. You know what was there? One more day off. one more, and one day the clerk came out and said, "Phillips." And I said, "Yeah." And he turned around and he says, "Here." Open it up. I'm going home. Ha ha! Woohoo! Boy, you know, such and so. I think it was like January the 11th. I'm out of here. Looked at the guys. "Hey, fellas, I'm out of here. You know, I'm just a passing through. I'm going home. One of these days, they're going to lay that body of mine in a casket if the Lord doesn't come. You know, but I won't be there, folks. I've already left. I went home to be with my God, with my Lord. I'm just a passing." That ought to make those curves in the road a little bit easier, shouldn't it? That ought to make those rainy, cloudy days a little bit easier. Know what? I'm not living here forever. I'm just a passing through. Make sure that you remember that, Christian. You're here for just a little while. Where will you spend your eternity? That's the important thing. Will you spend it in heaven with a good shepherd or in hell with that evil shepherd? And then there's persecution, of course, here upon earth, and I could share some verses with you today about that, but I think most certainly would understand that there is persecution. Understand this about the abundant life. The abundant life is not worry-free, trouble-free, or persecution-free. That's not what the abundant life is all about. Just like I said about I'm passing through, there's difficult days and good days and bad days and all that. So it's not about worry-free, trouble-free, or persecution-free. God allows these things to come in our life. Why? Because there's an evil shepherd that's always tugging at me. Say, "Hey, why don't you come this way? Hey, why don't you do this? Boy, see what God allowed in your life? Why don't you go follow me?" The evil shepherd wants you to follow him. Now, he can't take you to hell, but I'll tell you what, he'll make your life worthless here on earth. Because that's the way he is. He persecuted Peter. Why? To make of him an example. You remember, the Lord said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." He wasn't meaning that Peter was Satan, but he was meaning you're acting like Satan. You're following the wrong shepherd. Here I am, follow me. Don't follow the ways of the devil. Peter didn't want the Lord to go to the cross. He didn't want the Lord to die. But that's why Jesus came. And so, you say, "Well, that's terrible the way Peter acted." Well, one day, what did the Lord do? Had him stand up and preach the gospel. And thousands got saved. Lives got changed. You know what? I think about that. If God can take an arrogant, loud-mouthed fisherman, and I'm not talking about Don Halsey. Don likes to fish. But if the Lord can take a guy like Peter, who was arrogant, loud-mouthed fisherman, and use him for his glory, then what Peter went through was worth it all. Amen. It is worth it all to go through here. Go through this life. Then there was the Apostle Paul, who had that thorn in the flesh to make him stronger in his faith. You remember what he said there in 2 Corinthians 12:7. He said, "Unless I should be exalted above measure through abundance." The abundant life, if we're not careful, will cause us to move in the wrong direction. God allows some things in our life to strengthen us, to help us through this life, and also to make sure that we stay or not be proud about what we're doing. Staying humble. And he said, "Through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." The one thing about the abundant Christian life, God allows some things into our life that keeps us humble before the Lord. If we just had the abundant Christian life, that nothing ever happened, that everything came out good, smelling good like roses or whatever, you know what? We'd be walking around like this all the time. "Hey, you sorry sinners over there, look what God does for me. And by the way, we wouldn't be an example of what God can do when He leads us through those trials and tribulations in our life. So Paul said, I needed that thorn in the flesh. I didn't want it, but that's what God knew that I needed. And so, Jesus Christ, look at the persecution of the Lord and how He died on the cross. Why did He do that? For our benefit. Persecution. You see, when you know what life is about, it won't throw you. Life is made up of those ups and downs, those ins and outs, those storms and those sunshiny days. Yes, life has many mountain top experiences, and I'm thankful for those. I'm thankful when everything's going great, and I got this mountaintop experience. But you know what happens? You go from this mountaintop over to that mountaintop. What's in between the mountaintop? The mountaintop. Oh, there's the valley. I was old evangelist Lester Roloff many years ago. I heard him say one time, he said, we like to live on the mountaintops. He says they do all the plowing and planting in the valleys. He's just an old-time preacher. You don't see people planting along up on tops of the mountain. He says they're down in the valley. And that's kind of true, isn't it? Some of you from the hill country, and what do they call those? Hollers? You're in the valley, see? In between. And old Lester Hall said that's where you plant. That's where you plow. That's where the work is done. A lot of times in the valley. Because on the mountaintop, we're up there saying, woo, look at this. Isn't this wonderful? That is great. We need to get our hands dirty, amen? Sometimes we need that valley. That's where a lot of work is done. So, we have to cross the valleys in between. You're just a pilgrim. You're just a passing through. I got two more. I said I had three, but the last two are quick. Not only the pilgrim, but you're a pilgrim, but there's a plan. You have a plan. Now listen to this, folks. You can learn from the past, but you can't stay in the past. You can't live there. We should plan for the future, but you can't live in the future. You're not there yet. In Isaiah 49 and verse 8, the Lord says to us that for saith He, that's in Isaiah 49 verse 8, and Paul writes it out in 2 Corinthians 6:2, and so he says, for saith He, back in Isaiah, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. What's he saying? God says, listen, you gotta live now. You gotta get saved now. You gotta live for the Lord now. You can't live for the Lord in the past. It's gone. You can't live for Him in the future. It's not here yet. We need to live now. There's a plan and the plan is for today. Philippians 3, 13 and 14, Paul writes, brethren, I count not myself to apprehended. Now Paul was saying there, the previous verses, that God has something for me. And I want to apprehend it. When some guy is broke out of jail and they said they apprehended him, what do they mean? They got him, right? They got him. Got a hold of him. They caught him. Paul said, there's some things I haven't apprehended yet. Haven't got them yet. I want them. And I'm looking for them. God's got them for me. And so he says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Can't live in the past. Oh, but you don't know how bad I was back then. Learn from it. Can't do anything about it now. It's gone. So he says, forgetting those things which are behind. What did Paul have to forget? He persecuted the church. Hundreds of people ended up in jail. Some of them killed. If you go up and read those verses before this verse I'm reading right here, he talks about he's the chiefest of sinners. He can't believe God saved him, but he did. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Again, I can't deal with the past. I'm looking to the future, but I'm living today. Don't live in the past. You see, you lose the abundant Christian life when we don't forgive and forget. By the way, when I talk about forgive, I'm not talking about you'll never remember it again. It's you choose not to bring it up anymore. It's past. So somebody says something that you don't like. Somebody does something you don't like. You say, I need to forgive them. You do. How do you do that? Well, you let it go. And you don't bring it up again. Marriages, you don't bring up past. I don't bring up the bad things my wife's done. And she don't have anything to talk to about me, so I don't know. No, we don't bring those things up. Forgetting the past. Lose the abundant life when we don't forgive and don't forget. Now remember, listen to these two principles here. Forget the battles that's been lost. Forget the battles lost. But notice this. But seize the lessons learned. You got to forget the battles lost, but seize the lessons learned. You say, you can't believe what happened back there. Yeah, forgive and forget, but learn something from it. Don't make that same mistake again. Don't go that way again. Maybe the devil led you in that way. You allowed him to kind of be your shepherd, so to speak, for a little while. But don't allow that. Forget the battles lost, but seize the lessons learned. And there's another thing. Choose your battles. Years ago, I had to learn that. Young preacher starting out, saying like every time you turn around, somebody's saying something wrong, doing something wrong, and you know, you're always in a battle. Some wise man said, hey, you got to choose your battles. You got to decide what's important. If it's something that's not important, let it go for now. There's bigger things that you have to deal with. So choose your battles. By the way, you might not lose as many that way if you choose them. It's kind of like the fellow that had an old hound dog. And somebody said something about had problems with skunks. And he said, well, that old hound dog over there can whip any skunk. He said, would he go out there and get those skunks out there? I said, he can whip any skunks, but it's not worth it. See, he whipped one. And he found out it wasn't worth it, right? What'd I say? Forget the battles, but learn the lessons. Amen? And choose those battles that you want to fight. So don't live in the past. Don't live in the future. Yeah, well, what should I do about the future? Plan for the future. Can't live there yet, but you can plan for it. Plan, but don't worry. James 4, 13 and 14 says, go to now, ye that say, today, on the morrow, we will go into the city and continue there a year, buy and sell and get gain, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while, then vanisheth away. Don't say what you're going to do, because you don't even know what tomorrow may bring. You may not even be here tomorrow, but you can plan for tomorrow. He's not saying don't plan for tomorrow. Just be careful. Don't live in the tomorrow. Dr. D.W. Whittle wrote this. I like it, so I wrote it down for you. It says, I have nothing to do with tomorrow. Its sunshine I may never see. I might not make it till tomorrow, right? So today, with my plow in the furrow, to my master I faithful will be. Do what I need to do today. I don't know about tomorrow. I have nothing to do with tomorrow. My Savior will make that His care. I like this. Now get this. This will help you with an abundant Christian life. Its grace and its strength I cannot borrow. Is there grace and strength out there in the future? Oh yeah. The Lord's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so He says, its grace and its strength I cannot borrow, so why should I borrow its care? I like that. We can't borrow the grace and strength for tomorrow, so why in the world do I want to go out there and borrow its care or its problems? Right? You know, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, where it says that we're to, how does that go? Put the kingdom of God first, and all these things shall be added unto you. Put ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know what the next verse says? Verse 34 of Matthew chapter 6. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. It'll take care of itself. Don't worry about it. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Listen, there's enough problems out there. You don't have to go looking for them. Amen? Don't worry about tomorrow. Yes, plan for tomorrow, but don't worry about tomorrow. Certainly don't live in the future. Don't live in the past. Don't live in the future. What's left? Live today. Live today. Psalm 118:24. This is a day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. The abundant life comes by learning from the past, picking my battles in the present, and not worrying about the future. Jesus said in John 10:10, I have come to give you life, to give it to you more abundantly today. You got problems, preacher. Well, you're just passing through. But what about tomorrow? Don't worry about tomorrow. Live today. God gives you an abundant Christian life. Then there's the last point, your purpose. Two things real quick. I'm out of time. Number one, have a cause. And number two, have a church. What do you mean by that? Well, David said in 1 Samuel chapter 17, when he seen Goliath out there cursing and blaspheming his God, what did David say? Is there not a cause? David had a cause. We need to have a cause. Christ had a cause. If you look there, just flip over maybe a couple pages to John chapter 12. Look at verse 27. John 12, 27. Now is my soul troubled, Jesus said, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Jesus had a cause. And then Paul had a cause. 1 Timothy 1:16. Howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ may show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to everlasting life. Paul said, I got a cause. And of course, the church has a cause. What is it, preacher? Mark 16:15. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. God gives you a cause to live today, to reach this world for Christ. The world that you live in, have a cause. And number two, have a church. Divine authority for all evangelism, baptism, and the instruction of discipleship has been vested in the Lord's church. Paul wrote to Timothy. He wasn't sure where he was going to get to see me or not. And he wrote to his friend Timothy in 1 Timothy 3:15. Now, listen to what he wrote. But if I tarry long, Paul says to Timothy, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. In other words, what I wrote here to you in this first letter to Timothy, Paul said, what I wrote to you is that you can know how the church is to work. Know what you're supposed to be doing in the church. Then he gave the definition of what the church is. Listen to it. He said, but I have tarried long, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. Folks, we need the church. Let me say it this way. There are no Christians living the abundant life or the full life outside the church. We need the church. I didn't come up with the church. I didn't one day say, you know what, I'm going to go out and start a church. I think it's a big, good thing. I'm going to go out and start an organization and get a bunch of people together. And let's see. I think I'll call it a church. I'm not bright enough to come up with that, first of all. And second, I didn't do it. Well, who came up with the church? The Lord did. Upon this rock. Jesus Christ, not Peter. Upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell. Oh, there's that evil shepherd. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Dwight L. Moody, I'll close here. Dwight L. Moody asked an audience one time, he's holding a glass in his hand, so he asked the audience, he said, how can I get the air out of this glass? Well, one guy, you know, Professor so-and-so, he says, well, we can hook up this vacuum thing and pull the air out. D.L. Moody looked at him and said, if we pulled all the air out of this glass, it would crush it. Then other people had ideas what they thought he ought to do, and he says, here's what you do. And he walked over and he had, you know, the reason why I had a glass, because you know, he could get a drink, and he went over and got the pitcher of water that had been by the glass, and he took the pitcher and he tilted it up and filled the glass full of water. He says, there. No air. It's just the water now. And then he looked at him and he says, you don't work hard to eliminate the sinful habits, but you allow the Holy Spirit of God to take full possession of your life. That's what Ephesians 5:18 means. Be not drunk with wine, where it says, that's filled up with wine. Be not drunk with wine, where it says, but be what? Filled with the Spirit of God. The life lived for self ends up empty. The life yielded to Christ as the great shepherd who leads the flock. He leads them to an abundant life. The thief takes, the shepherd gives. The quality of life is increased, and the abundant life is lived. How to have an abundant life? Follow the good shepherd, not the evil shepherd. What shepherd are you following? Let's bow our heads for prayer. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, no one looking around this morning, and I hope God has spoken to your heart. Maybe you're one of those that's going through those gray days and cloudy days and rainy days of life. Well, let me remind you, you're just passing through. You may be one of those who are on the mountaintop. Well, that's good. I enjoy those mountaintop experiences. But the work is often in the valley. And we'll have to go there. But we're just a passing through. You say, well, it was great back then. I remember back then. Don't live in the past like that. You're living in the past, you're not living now. Well, I'm looking forward to the day when I... No, no. Nothing wrong with making plans for the future. But live today. God wants you to have the abundant Christian life. You're here today and you do not know Christ as your personal Savior. If you die today, you're not sure you go to heaven. You can't live the abundant Christian life if you don't know where you're going. You're just a passing through, but where you're going to? There is truly a heaven to gain. and there's truly a hell to shun. Are you following the good shepherd? We can take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure you're going to heaven. We'll give you a Bible reason for your salvation. Do you know for sure you're saved and going to heaven? You're here today and you say, "Preacher, I'm sure of that. I've accepted Christ as my Savior. I'm looking forward to that day, heaven. I am too. But I can't live there. I have to live today." Are you living for the Lord? Are you following the Good Shepherd? Is there somebody you know that you need to pray for, you're concerned about? Are they being deceived by the evil shepherd? Matter of fact, sometimes the evil shepherd's dressed in sheep's clothing. He makes it look like he's the good shepherd, and he's not. The world philosophy makes a big difference, and is a big difference from God's Word and God's truth. Somebody you need to pray for, maybe you need to pray for yourself, situation, God spoke to your heart, you want to be a better Christian, you want to live that abundant life, you want others to know Christ as their Savior, and you want to pray and ask the Lord to help you to be a witness today in your world that you live, helping people to see Christ, helping people to get to the Good Shepherd. Father God, you know the hearts of your people. If there be one that does not know for sure they're saved, may today be the day of their salvation. And for all others, Lord, help us to not live in the past or live in the future. We can't. We can learn from the past, and yes, we can plan for the future, but we must live our life today as we follow the Good Shepherd. So Heavenly Father, help us in our decisions for today. Maybe some are brokenhearted or very concerned about friends and loved ones, folks that they know that are being deceived by the evil shepherd. They need to lift up that name and pray for them and ask you to help them to be a wise counselor, giving important input into the life of that dear one that they're praying for. Or Lord, you'd send somebody into their life to draw them to the Good Shepherd. Father, thank you for being a shepherd that we can follow. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.